That crooning from Weird Al means word matters. Our occasional look at the reasons we use the language that we do. Back with us, NPR's resident grammarian and usage expert, Mark Memmott. Mark, thanks for being back with us.
Glad to be here.
Tis the season to deck the halls with holiday analogies. Do you like these cliches any more than you care for figgy pudding?
Scott, I say bah humbug to the news media's annual insistence on slipping those cliches into so many stories. We get it. Christmas is coming. So is Hanukkah. New Year's Eve is fast approaching. But that doesn't mean we have to constantly hear 'twas the night before, or that the weather outside is frightful, or that it's beginning to look a lot like anything. I love the holidays. There's room for a clever play on the language of the season. Maybe you can figure out a way to do something fresh with 12 days of Christmas. But let's not add to the holiday fatigue.
Very serious editorial language question in the news this week. How does NPR refer to what happened to Eric Garner, the man who died in New York City after being restrained by New York police?
Yes. There's been some pushback from some in the public about whether the news media should be saying that the officer used a chokehold. We, and most other news outlets, have been using that word. Here's the issue. Mm-hmm. Officers are supposed to be trained not to use a hold that restricts someone's breathing. They're taught to use other methods, including a hold that can make a person pass out by restricting blood flow to the brain, but does not cut off air to the lungs. Saying it was a chokehold, then, is akin to saying the officer wasn't following the NYPD's own procedures.
Which is a judgment call, or...?
It is a judgment call, and there are some who say that because you could hear Mr. Garner, Eric Garner, speaking, he was saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. He was getting some air into his lungs, so therefore you probably shouldn't call it a chokehold. But if you go to the dictionary and look up the word, you find this definition: a technique for restraining or subduing a person by locking one's arms around the person's neck. So the word applies.
You've asked listeners to write in with words that particularly annoy them. Wonder what words or phrases have come your way.
The very first email we got from Jean Rouleau in Stoughton, Massachusetts, was about the phrase ahead of. Why not just say before, she asked, adding that it drives her crazy. Brad Bauer of McKinney, Texas, hates the word incentivize. Mm-hmm. Those who use it should be incented to stop, he joked. An issue that sparked a lot of discussion and some spirited arguments within my family was about checkout signs that say 10 items or less instead of 10 items or fewer. The prescriptivists, I love that word, are sure it should be 10 items or fewer. They were taught in school that fewer is the word to use when things can be counted. The descriptivists, and you know who you are out there, say language is a living thing and that when it comes time to talk and speak, we can go with what's become common, especially when there's no confusion about the meaning. They are not perplexed by 10 items or less.
And as we approach the end of the year, you've asked listeners to send you their nominee for the most misused word of the year.
Yes.
Most misused word of the year, I guess, on our air is kind of what we mean.
Well, or we're open to hearing how others misuse all words, right, or phrases as well. And choosing among them is like asking which one of my children I love more. I'll just cite one that has been bothering me for years. Impact. I know there are many out
there. As a verb, right?
As a verb. Yeah. I know there are many out there who argue it's perfectly all right to use it as a verb. To my ear, it's still better as a noun. Instead of saying, how will the Bears' latest loss impact coach Mark Trestman's future with the team, how about just asking, how will it affect Trestman's future? And I think you know the answer to that question.
Oh, boy, yeah.
But I'm sure listeners will have other nominees for most mangled word or phrase of the year, and we'd like to hear them.
Mark Memmott is NPR Supervising Senior Editor for Standards and Practices. Much like, forgive me, Santa cliche, he's waiting for your letters at wordmatters@npr.org. Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.